If I were to sneeze right now, most of you would probably respond in one of two ways. You would either say Gesundheit, which is German and means roughly, I wish you good health, or you might respond with bless you. Now, saying bless you to someone might seem like a fairly straightforward thing to do. But what does it really mean to bless someone? How do blessings work in our lives? And we might define blessing to mean asking for or seeking God's favor. We also use this word to describe the act of making something holy, or to give our consent, our blessing to do something, our blessing to marry our daughter or whatever. A blessing is something we can give, and it's also something that we can receive. In that final verse from our gospel lesson in Luke, Jesus says, and he's speaking to the host of the dinner party that he is at, but I think it applies to us as well. Jesus says, "And you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." Now Jesus says this to the host after telling him not to invite his family, friends, and rich associates to his parties. Instead, he says, invite the poor, the cripple, the lame, and the blind. And Jesus tells this to the host after he has told those who are assembled a parable about a feast. A parable which says, don't seek the place of honor. Instead, lower or humble yourself so that you can be raised up. And the advice to the host of the party tells us who God is interested in raising up: the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and those who invite these people to the banquet. Inviting them to the banquet can be read as helping, loving, and extending God's grace to them. For this, Jesus tells us, we will be blessed. The question that this raises in my mind, and which I would like to ask you, is this: are we living our lives seeking out blessings? Or are we living our lives in order to be a blessing? Do we seek blessings, or do we want to be a blessing for others? In other words, what are your motivations? Do you help people because we hope to be blessed through our own actions? Or do we help people regardless of the consequences to ourselves because we know it's the right thing to do? It's what Jesus asks us to do. So let's be clear that Jesus is telling a parable. And this means that we should be looking for deeper meaning, and that perhaps not everything as it seems. When Jesus says, pay attention to where you sit and place yourself at a banquet, well, Jesus isn't just describing a banquet. The banquet is not a banquet. The banquet is the kingdom of God. Our worthiness at the banquet has everything to do with how God sees us and not how we see ourselves. The values of the kingdom are not the same values which society holds dearly. What we hold up as valuable in God's kingdom is often viewed as worthless by many within society. In his commentary on Luke, Fred Craddock says that Jesus is calling for kingdom behavior. Now, there's a story about Queen Victoria. She was once at a diplomatic reception, one of many, I am sure, and the guest of honor was an African chieftain. The meal was going splendid until the finger bowls were served. You know the ones, like they give out at Swiss Chalet, that you're used to clean your fingers with. Well, the guest of honor had never seen one of these finger bowls before, and so lifting it in his hands, he drank it. For a moment, there was silence in the room. The guests were shocked, and they started whispering to themselves, no doubt snickering about what the guest of honor had done. But all of this stopped when Queen Victoria silently took the bowl in her hands and drank it. And to their surprise, every other guest picked up their finger bowl and drank it. The Queen's courtesy guarded her guest from embarrassment. Behavior is often learned. Queen Victoria's example provides us something to learn from. And Jesus is trying to share something with the host and the guests at the banquet he has been invited to. This story, both our gospel lesson and this little tidbit about Queen Victoria, it reminds us that at the foot of the cross, the ground is level. Kingdom behavior encompasses hospitality, compassion, love, and grace. Now, if you dig in and if you think about this gospel lesson today, I think you may get the feeling that the host of the party might not have been too impressed with Jesus. I doubt that Jesus got invited back to this particular Pharisee's house. In fact, you actually have to wonder why a Pharisee would invite Jesus in the first place after everything that's been going on with the healing on the Sabbath and the disagreements that they've had. In fact, in the verses that we didn't read this morning, there was another guest at the party who had dropsy, and the party was on the Sabbath, which, you know, you're allowed to serve and host people on the Sabbath. I guess that's an exception. But Jesus walks up to the man, and he looks at all the Pharisees, and he says, "Is it okay if I heal him on the Sabbath?" And they didn't respond, and so he did. But perhaps the reason Jesus was invited was that old adage, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. After all, we do know that they were keeping a close eye on him. What we do know is that Jesus made the host look bad, which today we might say embodied bad manners. However, if we look at the many things that Jesus said and did, we realize that he actually upset a great many people in order to make the point about what the kingdom might look like. Jesus was not overly concerned with social niceties. As N.T. Wright puts it in his commentary, Luke for Everyone, Jesus didn't come to offer good advice. Jesus came to establish the kingdom, and to lay out the principles which were to guide and govern it, which guide and govern our lives as followers of Christ. Listening to Jesus and taking the hint of what he was speaking about would probably be good advice. But we all know that within that story, and when we look at the history which has unfolded since Christ walked with us, that we haven't been very good at taking his advice and following in his example. Jesus, again and again, emphasizes the values that are important to God. And I'm not sure how it happens or why it continues to happen, but it seems that modern society promotes characteristics that seem to run contrary to what Jesus is advocating, to what Jesus is teaching. Self-promotion, personal gratification, lack of responsibility, lack of consequences. These are the messages which rule the day. We are called to host banquets for the poor, the lame, the crippled, and the blind. All social outcasts in Jesus' day. We are called to love those who are unloved, who do not have strong social supports, who we find on the outcasts, on the outside, the outskirts. This is what the kingdom looks like. Not grand balls celebrating the elite, but ensuring that there is an equal amount for all. It's not about giving everything we have, rather it's about reprioritizing. We are not the center of things. God is the center of things. How can we reorder our lives to place God in the center and therefore bring glory to God? How do we offer ourselves to God? And in doing so, offer ourselves to others. How do we live out those values of the kingdom which Jesus taught? For each of us, that answer is going to be different. But in doing so, we become a blessing. In reprioritizing and in focusing on God, we will be blessed and we will receive our reward. Not because we seek acclaim, but because we seek to honor God. As a community of faith and as individuals, we do a lot. This church is involved in a great many things, and please understand that my point is not to diminish any of the work that we are doing. Rather, it is to encourage us to always find it within ourselves to do a little bit more. To ensure that our priorities are always focused on the right place. That we are not doing things simply because we have always done them. Rather, we are doing things because God is calling us forward and asking us to do them. If what we do as Christians and as a community of faith does not bring honor and glory to God, then why are we doing it? We are engaged in various mission activities, and we have done so because we believe God calls us to them. We provide a soup kitchen. We sponsor refugees because these are the poor, the lame, the crippled, and the blind today. They need our help, and we have help enough to provide. Providing them with assistance demonstrates to others that these people are human. They're not numbers. They're not something that you see in the newspaper or on the television screen. They are people. They live amongst us. They live on the planet that God created for all of us. And they need our love. Is it better to give than receive? Yes, I think it is. We are called to give out of our plenty. And God will notice. And we will be repaid, not in this life, but in the one to come. In the kingdom, of God, which our generosity seeks to usher in. So be a blessing. It is why God created you. Amen.